This is Farm Dog, the podcast about the working dogs of farming, ranching, homesteading, and rural living. Farm Dog is presented by Goats on the Go, a national network of independent business owners who provide sustainable weed and brush control for their customers using goats. Want to put goats to work on your vegetation problem? Interested in launching your own goat grazing business? The place to start is goatsonthego.com. Welcome to Farm Dog. I'm your host, Aaron Steele. Welcome back to our conversation with Jeff Christensen. This is part two of that conversation. So if you haven't yet, go back and catch episode 76, where we talked to Jeff for the first time. Jeff is a well-known stock dog trainer and also a partner in Dog Training Online. Dog Training Online is a video subscription service where some of the world's best stock dog trainers provide instructions and tips and guidance to people like you and me through streaming videos in how to train their stock dogs. And Jeff has been kind enough to extend to our listeners a discount offer, 10% off a new subscription at Dog Training Online if you use the code FDP2024 at checkout. That's FDP as in Farm Dog Podcast 2024, FDP2024 at checkout, and you can find that at dogtrainingonline.com. Also, check out our website, farmdogpodcast.com, where you can use the email form to send us topic ideas and suggestions or names of people you think we should interview. We'd love to hear from you. You can also click shop at the top of that page and buy some branded merchandise, both from our sponsor, Goats on the Go, and hats and t-shirts with the Farm Dog logo on it. So check that out and support us in that way if you would. On to our conversation with Jeff Christensen, part two. So how's it going so far? You said you launched a year and a half ago. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. How are the subscriptions coming along and what kind of feedback are you getting? I know you said you like to have something for everybody, but is there like, what's the meat of the curve? Where are most of your customers coming from?
Yeah, it's great. So we do get a lot of feedback. And it's going well. It's like every business, it's a hustle, you know, like build. I think last time maybe we had subscribers in 9 different countries, which I thought that was pretty neat. It might be higher than that now, but you know, yeah, I thought that was neat. And again, it's all about exposing new people to what we do also. That's a huge part of what we do. I just love the working dog stuff. And anybody we can expose to what we're doing, I think is beneficial for everybody. We are trying to get different breeds, obviously, on the site too. We have a lot of comments. When we were over in Australia, you know, we had those were Kelpies over there that we videoed. We're going, yeah, different lines of dogs people want. To me, there's not a ton of difference between how you train a lot of the dogs in the herding sector, but people like to see, you know, a certain line of dogs work, a certain breed, I mean, excuse me. Mm-hmm. But so there's that. We're exploring that also.
I'd be surprised if this hasn't happened already, but you're going to be, I would expect that you'll be getting requests from people to show my favorite breed of herding dog that is really only a herding dog in category anymore. That breed hasn't done real work in a long time. How are you going to handle those requests, or how have you handled those requests when somebody says, hey, how about a video with a Sheltie? Hey, how about a video with, you know what I mean? All those other breeds that haven't actually done farm and ranch work in a long time.
Yes, yes. So, great question. And it is hard. So what you're going to do is you get a request like that. Now you got to go find a trainer who's trained enough of them to have a reasonable outlook on how it proceeds. Right. And have the finished product out there. A lot of these breeds don't have much of a finished product out there, and not picking on them, but that's just the truth of the matter. So, it's tricky, and you can't please everybody all the time. I've learned that because there are breeds we get requests for that I don't even know if there is any work conducted. You know what I mean? I don't even know if they might exist. There might be 3 in the world. And so I would say to those people, watch how this person works as Kelpie, watch how this person works as Border Collie, and try to work within that frame. And then your dog's going to have some different behaviors, but you might just have to turn a blind eye to some of them behavior. You know what I mean? If the dog bounces or barks a lot or whatever, you kind of maybe like, okay, so that's what this dog's genetically going to do, but I can still get it to down faster. I can still get it to flank cleaner. I can still get it to balance on its stalk better. That's what I would be looking at as for us. But yes, of course we get those.
Yeah, I can
Yeah.
imagine. And here on the Farm Dog Podcast, I like to talk about any and all breeds. That's part of what's fascinating about the conversation is just how many breeds there are out there and what their original intent and purpose was for building up those breeds. So I love the idea that you could do a video with eight different breeds.
Yeah.
But would that be a constructive video and would that be a constructive use of your time to spend 6 months trying to track down a Pumi breeder,
Right.
a trainer that actually has working dogs,
Yeah.
but I love the idea of it.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So do I'm big in obviously the German Shepherd Mountain. I love all of that stuff. Those are all herding breeds, right? And so yeah, I'm in. But it's just like say getting with the right people and going down that road. And like I said, then are we gonna travel all the way across the United States and set up camp for 4 days and video and everything like that? Is there enough interest to warrant something like that? You always are having to play that game a little bit too. Are there enough people that want it, or is there two people that want it? And you know what I mean? And then will they even
Right.
subscribe to watch it anyway?
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. Sure.
Yeah.
Do you think some of your, well, I'd be curious to know what percentage of your subscribers subscribe to a video series because there is some intimidation factor to going out and working with people, going to a clinic, working with an actual trainer. Participating in even fun trials just for the experience of it. To me, for my personality, there's a big intimidation factor to get over there. And video seems so much more accessible. I can sit in my dining room and watch those videos over and over and over again. And I never have to go out there and interact and see what other dogs are doing near me and see what other trainers are doing. Do you think there's a potential downside to? I mean, I hate to say that because you're offering great product, right? Great content. Is there any downside that you're discouraging people from actually getting out there and finding mentors and meeting other people?
Well, I hope not. I really encourage it to people to go get mentored by somebody. I really do. And there is an intimidation factor the first time you go to, maybe you've heard about a certain trainer for years and years and years, and you finally get the chance to go see them. And of course, there's an intimidation factor like, well, am I even good enough? Is my dog good enough? And there's always that. And we're trying to kind of raise the veil on that a little bit with the trainers and show these people that these are actually great people and they want to help you, and your skill level doesn't really is going to matter too much to them, right? I have people show up my deals and man, their dogs just barely lead, right? I can help that person. I can help that person. And so I would like to think that we're helping people want to go attend the clinic. And want to get, and at least when if they watch the videos and they get three or four really neat things going for them, and they show up and say, "Hey, this is what I've been doing at home because of these videos," and the person's like, "Oh, okay, great, because at least now we got a starting spot, and I'll show you what to do next."
Right. The flip side of that coin is that the videos actually give you confidence to get over that intimidation.
That's what I want. I want people like that, like, oh, I can do this. Like, look what I did today. Like, I took a dog that doesn't know anything to take a dog that flanks around. At least now, when I go somewhere, I can show the person like I do have an idea what it should look like. And that's huge. The intimidation factor is as real as it can be. I mess around with protection dogs, like the German Shepherd Mountain Walls too. That's kind of my little hobby on the side. A lot of them people are, boy, they're hardcore military UN. I mean, been there, done that, done gnarly stuff, right?
Right.
And they have an intimidate, like I'm a little, Kansas farm boy. Oh, here's what I want to do too. And so it's interesting that whole, it can be intimidating, but it's surprising how when they learn that you want to learn, everybody's like, you bet, bring it, because I want to help you. You'll notice that a lot of trainers, that the reason they're on our site is because they want to help people deep down. Like it is like I had a quote one time, like something about that, like if you learn what your life is for, and then the idea is to give it away, right? And just give that information, like when you get to a high level of mastery, you want to help other people get over that hump. You hate to see people quit because they just can't quite figure it out. And if you could just give them that one little idea and say, and they get over that hump and they're like, yes, this is for me, I'm gonna do this, I love it.
Yeah, very cool. That's really exciting. There is a cynic inside of me, and so I feel like I have to ask this question just in case that any of the audience members are thinking the same thing.
Right.
But before starting to get into stock dogs and livestock guarding dogs, my experience with working dogs was with hunting dogs, retriever, and then a pointing dog. And I went out looking for video training resources, and what I found was an awful lot of really nice videos of dogs always doing it perfectly. And trainers
Yes.
always doing
Yeah.
it perfectly. So I know that that can't possibly be, but it looks like it on the videos like that I have seen elsewhere that that's the case. Do your videos show trainers making authentic mistakes and their dogs not doing it perfectly every time? And then so you have the opportunity to see even a trainer doesn't get it to work perfect all the time, and here's how they deal with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So on our videos, you'll notice that when we show up somewhere and we video, there are no, when you watch the video, there are no cuts and paste or whatever professional editors call it. So when we set up and we start videoing, it is what it is. And so there is a lot of corrections on these videos. There's a lot of like tugging on leads and using flags and using rakes, and so we try to be. The only way I can help people, if you sit down on a video site and you watch 12 perfect runs, what's going to happen is you're going to get discouraged because you're like, wow, I can't do that. They're too good, So for me, I want looking at a lot, showing lots of corrections, showing stuff going haywire, and then regrouping and kind of starting over. So we try to show as much possible as we possibly can. Now, not to the stage that it would embarrass a trainer, of course, or anything like that,
Right.
or an owner, or get 40 emails about, oh my gosh, I can't believe you guys showed that. So, like, where we do walk a bit of a line as far as that goes, of course, because it doesn't take much to get a bunch of emails anymore about, that looked a little tough, right, for that dog to understand. So, but I'm going there because that's what I like. So be it, right? This is what training is. This is real life. And this is what we're trying to get. I want people to say, like, did you see that trainer just have a total mess up? And they did it, and they missed it, and they missed their timing. That's what I like too.
Yeah, there's nothing that gives me more joy than watching a professional golfer on Sundays hit it into the water.
Yeah,
You know what I
exactly.
mean? Because it makes me feel a little better.
And that's why we started videoing a lot of clinics also, because in the clinic world, they're doing clinics, you don't know what you're gonna get, and you're gonna have to use a different approach, and there's gonna be dogs that you don't have in training at that clinic. Obviously, you're gonna be helping people, that dogs that you don't really know. So again, that's a great way to learn, because someone's gonna watch it and say, I have a dog just like that. Or did you see that trainer miss that spot and they had to catch it the next time, right? So like, we're all human, we're all fallible, and we want to show that too. Yeah, because just painting a pretty picture all the time, that's not how dogs get trained.
Yeah. I'm sure it's a really fine line though, because you want to be authentic and you want to show some of those candid mistakes and that things don't go perfectly, because there's a lot to be learned from how you deal with it not going perfectly. But you also have a segment to shoot, right? You have a point to that piece of video you're trying to put out there for the public, and you got to get it done. You got to be efficient at some point. So you can't just let it go on and on and on without achieving the objective in mind.
Yeah, correct. That so we usually keep video on video on until the person gets to so at the at this level, well, these trainers, they get where they're going eventually, right? And you just stick with it. And if some of the audience loses interest in the middle of it, so be it. To me, that's when I get interested. I'm like, where is this going? Are they going to get done what they say they're going to be able to get done? And I geek out on stuff like that.
Yeah, I do too. One of the best lessons that one of my mentors taught me about training retrievers was there's gonna be days when your dog is just not in it. And it's just not working. And you may have driven 45 minutes to a training location, stuffed the vehicle with gear, and you plan to be out there for a couple hours and the dog's just not in it. And the best thing you can possibly do is pack up after 10 minutes. Have the dog do something it knows really well so it can end on a successful note and go home. Have you ever had a moment like that on camera with some of these professional trainers where they're just like, let me put this dog away and bring out a different dog for this segment because it's just not happening?
For sure. Yeah, for sure. Because sometimes it just doesn't fit. Like I'm gonna say, like, hey, like I'm working on this particular thing. And well, it's happened to me. Like I know on my videos, I told, okay, we're gonna video and this is what I'm gonna do. And I was like, yeah, not today. And so I try to work through it best I can. We try to show it, but then at some point if the dog's just not in it that day, and again, that's the hard thing about the dog deal. That again, like we'll talk about in this modern age of microwaves and computers, they are not programmable. Like you, they can have an off day. We all can, and they're not something you program at home and then you drive 2 hours and open it up and it's there. You don't know what you know whether they're having hormonal issues or there's maybe a dog on that place that they don't like or they're having like some pack issues. You know, you just don't. There's so much that goes into this. And once you realize that, and as a trainer, you do, it's not the end of the world. You don't like, hey, let's try another dog. I want to show you guys this. So let's get another dog that wants to play the game today a little bit better, you know? And so at least you can see where they're going with it.
Have you had the benefit of traveling along to every single video shoot that you've done?
So I haven't done the ones that we sent in Australia well, all the overseas ones I haven't done because we're keeping up with our training here, but most all of them in the United States that I went and done and participated in. And yeah, gosh, I learned so much. Yeah,
Yeah.
I did. I didn't. I really, that's one aspect of this that I didn't anticipate so much is seeing all the different approaches to the same problem.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you've gotten to go to all of those, but I'm disappointed for you that you drew the short straw on the overseas trips. How'd that
Yeah,
happen?
right. Yeah. Well, they've been done some good videos too. I really, they're again another different stock, right, than what we work over here. Typically, the sheep are wild, and it takes a different training style and maybe a different dog to fit. And so that's interesting to watch. You know, down here in Texas, of course, we've got some big old tiger stripe Braemars. Now that's something totally different, and dog has to be a little bit different for. Right. So it's so us being able to travel the world is really helpful for a particular style of dog or a particular style of livestock on the farm.
Tell us the details about your program, if you would. Just tell us what customers get if they subscribe, what it costs to subscribe. Just make the value proposition for our audience.
Right. Well, if they just want to do it by the month, that's good. They can do it by the month. It's much cheaper by the year. So I think that the year annual subscription is 300, and I think by the month it's $29 for the silver, and that gives you some get coached. If you go to the gold, that gets you more get coached, where you can send in your videos, send in more of them.
I see.
Yeah, and so you when you sign on, and this was a concept that we really had a hard time teaching people about. People would say like, "Okay, I'm fixing to sign up in December, but I really want to watch the videos you guys have done before that." No, I of course all that's it's like you're basically buying a library card. Everything we've done in the past, you have access to, and everything we're doing in the future, you have access to. I don't care when you sign up. You get from 2 years ago when we were first videoing, you get access to everything. And so I think that's a concept that people kind of had a hard time grasping at first. And then obviously we're releasing videos weekly and going new places. And so we're going to come across something that you're going to be interested in, or that you're, that's going to help you. I promise you.
There are not too many products or services that gain value the longer you are paying for them,
Right.
right?
Right. Right. Yes.
They
Yeah.
depreciate,
They're
they lose value, right?
right.
But in
Yeah.
this medium, once the content is produced and you've paid to have access to it, you just keep producing more content and you don't pay any more than you paid last month, even though there's
No, no.
more value.
And I tell people we are subscriber driven. Like I love the feedback. We have the all the social media stuff where people can help us, like, hey, what about this person? They're doing good, and they really help me, and we can go that way. And so we're very subscriber driven, very much so. There's things that we've gone and videoed that don't interest me at all, right? But that's good because somebody's really interested in that. And so we're very much subscriber, and we do try to bring more value. And the library of videos just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And we add trainers, and we have different, and you mentioned the hunting deal and all that too. So this is where the growth of our detail goes so there's so much crossover information, what some other segments of the dog training world are doing that can really help herders. And there's some things that the herding dog people are doing that could really help retrievers and pointers and personal protection dogs. Some of the things that the personal protection dog people are doing, or protection sports are doing, is so next level that they can help us all so much. Read our dog's body language. There's crossover there, and that's the growth of DTO. That's where we're going with our where our deal's going.
I find that really exciting because I'm very much a novice in almost all dog training, but I've had my toe dipped in enough different areas of it that I do see that there does seem to be kind of a wall up between each of those segments of the dog training world, that there are concepts that have become mainstream in one area, one type of dog training, and they're not transitioning to other parts, pardon me, other categories of dog training. And I don't really understand why. I see it both ways with hunting dogs and herding dogs. I see things in the herding dog world that how come the hunting dog people don't do this, and vice versa.
Absolutely. Yes, you hit on such an important topic. And I whether it be walls between trainers in the same in that like in between the same whatever they're doing, and or between that there I see other trainers doing stuff that I think can be so useful in the herding dogs, and vice versa. And we do it all the time. Like I'll go to another venue where they're doing maybe protection sports, and someone will say, "Oh, you work border collie." Oh my gosh, we got to talk about that. And they sit down and talk forever about it because there's so much sharing, and we all can learn so much from each other. It is incredible how much I've learned from those guys. It is absolutely amazing, and I want to bring that to DTO that hey, like someone's having a little trouble with this, but the herding guys aren't really covering it. But hey, this guy that's training this German Shepherd is, or this guy that's got this lab that's having the same problem. Let's see how he approaches that same problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have a time frame for bringing in some of those
Well,
other
we so
categories?
those yeah, so those we're working on. So what we did the same as the herding. We have to get a big video library put together before we launch, and then so that it does take time. It's almost like building an entirely new business, on top of it, but because we have to keep up with all the other stuff we already got going too. So it's a bit of a process, but it's really coming together. We're super excited about it, and I want to give everybody the opportunity to learn as much from these other guys too.
That's cool. So that you can take a pass on this next question if you like, but do you anticipate that one subscription will give you access to each type of dog training, or do you
Yes.
ex you, oh,
I
really?
want it. Yes, I want it to one subscription. Well, you can access what we're gonna do, what we're doing in the future with other things. Yes, that's for sure the goal. So yeah. Yeah, because I don't want like someone to sign up and then they're like, well, I want to see what this guy did over here. I want him to be able to go do that. They like,
Right.
and I think it's very important to me.
Well, you got my money. I'm going to be signing up pretty soon here. Maybe as soon as we get off this call. But a couple more questions. How is the Stockdog information organized on your site? I know that you have to be cautious about saying, here's what you do with your puppy at 8 weeks old. Here's what you do with your puppy at 12 months or 12 months old. So like having a defined program is difficult because there's so many variables at play. But so how do you organize those videos by topic, by trainer, by development stage?
Yeah, very good. So a little of all of that, you can look it up per trainer and all the trainers' videos will come up. Or you can, if you go to the herding part of it, it'll give you on livestock, give you all the videos. Or you could go to herding obedience, and that's where we cover like what we talked about, the leading, the placement training and some different things like that. And you're so I feel like you can you It's really laid out fairly easy to find a topic. Now we do have series, like where you start with like at this certain level, and then you work your way through the series. And we're always working on that. We're always building that. And those actually, the series deal is kind of neat because you pull it up, and after you get done watching the video, you click on it, and it takes you to the next one. It takes you to the next one. So it's all very flow.
I
And
see.
then also our website has something neat where you can take notes. So say you're watching a video and say, "Hey, I want to remember maybe Joni Tijen talked about this," and you could keep a little note there and then go on to the next step of the series. So we do have series. Series are tricky because they take an amazing amount of set in on one person and really stay the course, right? And then go back real regular. So it's tricky. A lot of them are topic driven. Like say like trying to keep a dog with good flanks. Those would be a topic on there that many different trainers maybe have talked about. So
Okay.
we have a little bit of all that, I think.
Yeah, so flesh that out for me a little bit more. Give me an example of a series.
So I did a series starting a dog, and I use a square pin, like a 50-foot square pin. I use so we talk about getting the dog in there and keeping your recall good, and then start getting the dog flanking around, start getting the dog to give to a little pressure, start adding it down, start so every step of the way, I'm gonna show you kind of what how that dog progresses every day. And we have some bad days on there, like you talked about. There's one day on there, why not? I'm trying to get something done with the dog and I don't know what's going on. The dog don't want to do it, but we show like, hey, this is what I'm struggling with. So I'm just going to try to kind of start kind of the next day where we stopped and show you like how the next day is.
Okay, so a series has multiple topics, but the topics all build on each other progressively.
Progressively, that's correct. And get a little bit more down the road as far as refining the training as it goes. Yes, yeah. And then there's a lots of like say like you mentioned Haley, she has a square drill that she does. Well, she shows an older dog doing that, a well-trained dog, and then a dog that's maybe trying to figure it out, and maybe a dog that she's just starting to show it. So those are ways that you can do that.
Yeah, super valuable.
Yeah.
Very exciting. So, we could go on all day. I got lots and lots of questions for you. But we're approaching the end of our hour here. Tell our audience where they can go to find your videos, any details that they might need to become a customer of yours.
Yeah. So I recommend when you go to the web browser that you use or even Google that you go ahead and type in www for dogtrainingonline.com. So it just takes you directly there. So if you just put dog training online, there's no telling where it is going to take you that particular day, right? So I just recommend you do that. So every video that we have has a preview. So you can go on there and you can watch all the previews. And so a preview would be like if we take a 15-minute training session and we'll cut it down to maybe a minute and a half or 2 minutes, you can see if you're interested in that and what that person's covering. And you can decide if you want to become a member, and it's all right there. You can become a member and all that's taken care of on one page, and look up your trainers that you're interested in, and all their videos will come up. Or if you're not, you go to most recent videos, or you can look through all the videos and just see something that strikes you that you're interested in.
Excellent. So dogtrainingonline.com. Don't just search dog training online in your Google search window, because I did that. And you do have to scroll down a little bit, you know,
I bet.
To find the right place. And you offer a free trial, is that correct?
Yes, we do. Yeah, a 7-day free trial, and go check it out. And decide if you something in there that you like and want to stay with. I hope that you do. I think, and again, we're growing all the time and adding more content. I think there's a lot there for everybody. And you find your trainer that really fits your deal. And be good.
Wonderful. Audience, if you end up subscribing to Dog Training Online, I'd love to know it. And you can just send us a little information. Just drop me an email using the email box on farmdogpodcast.com. Hopefully we can point a bunch of people your way and get you some new subscriptions.
Oh, we appreciate it. We're just driven by the content. And like I said, people need to reach out to us. They have a special request. We try to track it down. And in the meantime, we just keep making new videos and trying to help everybody get better with their dogs.
Excellent, Jeff. It's been a lot of fun talking with you. Thank you so much for your time today, and good luck with Dog Training Online.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate your time.
It's a pleasure. Take care. Thanks for listening to Farm Dog. If you enjoyed this episode or any of the other episodes, please subscribe, leave us a positive review, and tell someone about it. Thanks.